All right. Let me give you a welcome also as you find your way back to your seats. I'm Pastor Ron. So glad you could be with us this morning. Let me add one thing real quickly to one of Jeremy's announcements. The women's worship night at CTK, I know it's kind of an intimidating thing to go to another church, and the question I often have is, will I know anyone there? Well, I just want to let you know, there's at least one women's life group from Living Hope that's going. So there's a number of people going. If you would like to connect with them so you don't feel alone there, check with my wife Molly or check with Carla, and you can connect with them either through carpooling or just know that someone will be there from Living Hope that you'll know, a face you'll recognize. All right, well, good morning. It's good to have you with us this morning. This morning is one of those times in the life of a congregation where you say this is a significant morning. Now, we know every morning can be significant because of the presence of God. But in terms of the history of the congregation and chapters in the story of a congregation, there are significant moments. And this is one of those moments. If you're visiting here this morning, or if you've maybe come for the first time, I'll give you just a really quick snapshot. There are many of you here that know what's going on this morning. Some of you have come for the purpose of what's going on. But the long story short is we are this morning releasing a group to plant a church. A number of couples, we're releasing them with our blessing to plant a church in the region. So you'll hear more about that as the morning goes on. But that's why I say it's a significant morning. Can I start with a really simple math question? Do you like math? Are you good at math? This is pretty easy, though. This is pretty easy. 1 divided by 2 equals what? 1/2. 1 divided by 2 equals 1/2, or 0.5. 1 times 2 equals 2. Did someone say 3? You gotta love it. Let me say it again. 1 divided by 2 equals 1/2. When you divide, the answer is less than the number you start with. When you multiply, the answer is greater than what you start with. Is God a God of division or a God of multiplication? God is a God of multiplication. So this morning, we get to experience and participate and celebrate multiplication. Church planting is an expansion of God's kingdom. Church planting is a multiplication of the revelation of Jesus in the region. Church planting is a means of raising up more servants in the church. Church planting creates another contact point for those far from God to draw near to Him. God is for multiplication. And I am too. I embrace multiplication and call it God's will. This is what He does. This is how He works. Now, in this journey, you've heard us hopefully a number of times now refer to this church plant in some agricultural terms. That of sowing seeds, that of reaping, that of planting. And those are all good terms. I want to add another analogy this morning, if you'll permit me to, and that is the analogy of childbirth. Now, today is the day when many churches around the country are drawing attention to right-to-life issues because of the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision, and there is this focus on life and how precious life is. And life begins, at least in the visible form, at childbirth. Now, this church plant that we're releasing this morning is not beginning this morning. It has been happening now through God's call and through God bringing vision and God drawing people together and God bringing clarity to some basic things. But this morning is the moment of childbirth. And that's a good analogy. This is what Paul says. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. What does Paul know about childbirth? That's what the women in the audience are saying. What does Paul know about childbirth? Jesus said this. He said, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. She has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy. And I'm sorry, forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. Now, There's no mistake, childbirth in the natural, that is a huge celebration, right? It's a wonderful celebration. If you'll permit me, I would just suggest that some pictures that are taken in the hospital room following childbirth are taken a little too early. What I mean is you see this smiling husband. He might be holding the baby. The baby might be in the mother's arms. There might be a grandmother, father, grandmother, grandfather, huge smile. But you look at the poor woman, and she looks like she was hit by a truck. Her hair is messed up. She hasn't had a shower in who knows how long. Her eyes are barely open. She's pasting a smile on her face, and she's trying to convince herself that what just happened was a good thing. But in that moment, all she knows is that it really hurt. It was really painful. And I wish all these smiling people would just acknowledge for a minute that I have just been through the most excruciating experience that a human can go through. And while it is a good thing, there's pain involved. There's pain involved in childbirth. It is something that is painful. So having said a moment ago that I embrace multiplication, will you just allow me to say that it hurts, and that while I'm for it, I'm not necessarily liking it right now because of what it feels like? Before we get too somber or serious, let me just be silly for a moment. One of the things my family just loves about me is, and Molly will tell you, that I have the ability to remember some of the dumbest and most meaningless things, a line from a movie or lyrics from a song from like 30 years ago. She'll also tell you that I seem to lack that ability when it comes to remembering to do something she asks me to do. Why are you clapping? That was not a moment for applause. You know, get some milk on the way home from work, bring the laundry basket down from the upstairs. I have an incredible ability to not remember that, while I have an ability to remember some of the stupidest stuff. And what's fun with children then, this is very common in our house, that, you know, someone will be, it's just a random conversation, or we'll hear something on the news, and I'll be reminded of an old song or a movie. I don't know a lot of movies, but I tend to kind of remember lines and things. And then as a parent, normally I'll remember something that the kids won't know about, so then I get the joy of explaining it to them and defining it on the internet and letting them hear it. Carrie's at the point now where she'll say, "Dad, I don't want to hear the song. I really don't want to hear it." Because she knows how I do this. It was a few weeks ago. Where's Frank Cazillo? Frank is in the house somewhere. You're in the back. Frank, for some reason, I think this was in a conversation with you, but I can't remember the details. I don't know what we were talking about. It really doesn't matter. But I remembered a line from a movie that I didn't even see the whole movie. I've only seen like a couple minutes of the movie, but I happened to be watching it at the moment that this line was spoken, and it just struck me as funny. The name of the movie is A League of Their Own, and it was a movie starring Tom Hanks, and it was about a women's baseball team. I'm guessing in probably the 30s or 40s. I don't know if any of you have seen that movie. I've not seen it. I'm not recommending it. Please, it might be a horrible movie, but I came across this one line where, as a baseball manager, the girls are out on the field. At the end of the inning, they come off the field, and one of them had made a pretty bad mistake. And like most managers, Tom Hanks was waiting at the third baseline to yell at her, and he was telling her about what a horrible mistake she made, and she began to cry. And that's what led to this line that just struck me as funny. Do some of you know what I'm going to say? He said, "Are you crying? There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball." What's that have to do with anything? Nothing really. But when I was searching for that clip, I found another clip from the movie. And this was a clip where one of the women on the team had decided to quit. The team was getting on a bus, and she alone was getting in the car with a suitcase in her hand. She was on her way home. And you see Tom Hanks' character, the manager of the baseball team, going over to her. And he started out kind of gently, but in this gruff manager role, he started getting on her pretty good and really let her know how displeased he was that she was quitting. She was quitting the team. And through this dialogue between the two of them, she finally looked at him and said, "It just got too hard." He responded with three sentences. And if you'll permit me, I'm going to allow the Tom Hanks character to put a little bit of a word into our time this morning. He said three things to her. He said, "It's supposed to be hard." Second sentence was, "If it wasn't hard, everybody would do it." And the third sentence was, "It's the hard that makes it great." Can we agree this morning that it's the hard that makes it great? Paul says this. Paul says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Do you think it was easy for Moses to lead millions of grumbling, obstinate people across the wilderness? Do you think it was easy for David, after he was anointed king, to have to put up with all of this murderous abuse of a demented king? Was it easy for Peter to usher in this whole new age where the Gentiles are now included in the church? Was it easy for Paul to spread the gospel around the then known world and to face everything he had to face? Was it easy for the reformers, the leaders of the Reformation, to rebirth something that was long missing in the church? And for many of them, it cost them their lives. Was it easy for Abraham Lincoln to lead our nation through one of its darkest chapters? Was it easy for Martin Luther King to be on the cutting edge of a civil rights movement? Is it easy today for pro-life, people involved in the pro-life battle, people involved in human trafficking? If it's not hard, it's probably not that great. But when it's hard, in God's economy, the things that are great are going to be difficult, and they're going to be hard. So can we together acknowledge this morning, with honesty and openness, some of the things we're feeling today? We might not be liking multiplication a whole lot right in this moment, but it's because it's a great thing. It's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everybody would do it, and it's the hard that makes it great. So we're going to move now into just progressively hearing from some people with the church plant. Josh, I'm going to invite you to come on up first. Get a mic for you. I wanted to start with Josh, just a little chat with you. The last time you and I addressed the congregation in this format was in the end of September, when the Lord had brought clarity to both you and Yolanda and us as leaders that we were to release you. But at that moment, we didn't have more than that. I mean, we knew there was all kinds of scenarios out there, but we didn't know more than that. But then over about a month's time, you and Yolanda felt that the Lord was giving you clarity on the issue of your church plant. You brought that to us as leaders, and we worked through that process. We blessed that. So I know we've done some writing in terms of updates, but just give us a little snapshot of that journey for you. You're a bold and, you know, visionary guy, but just give us a snapshot of how you got from the reality of sending to the confirmation of the church plant.
Yeah. Ron would sit down with me and he'd say, "Josh, you might not remember this, but you said such and such a thing 10 years ago or something." So conversation would start. And I remember one time Ron even reminded me of a statement I made about I'll never be a church planter or a senior pastor. You know, yeah, things that I said that I just kind of ruled out as callings of my life. And so when the idea to be sent was confirmed, then it was, well, now to what? And on the bottom part of our list of what we think God might want us to do was church planting. I mean, it was all the way down.
And why was that?
Because it was hard.
Yeah.
And if I could sum up the entire journey with one word, it's been uncomfortable. And not because of something that Ron has done or anything, but uncomfortable because it seems like everything the Lord is doing and saying and leading is in ways that I don't feel like I'm an expert at, or ways that I would have, again, had very low on the list of, I want to do this. You know, we'd all rather do things that we already know we're confident at doing and that we know will be successful and easy to accomplish. And yet it's been very uncomfortable because the Lord's been working so much in me and in Yolanda and I and preparing us for something that we had no idea was on the horizon.
Say, and you've already started to touch on that, but maybe I'll combine the first two questions I was going to ask you. What was one or two things that helped you settle on this reality? Like, obviously, you had to weigh a ton of things. Maybe what were one of the two core things that you felt the Lord said, this is why, this is what I'm calling you to? And maybe any other comments just about the journey. And I mean, you've already touched on that uncomfortable. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, but maybe what are the some of the core confirmations or realities, however you'd say that?
Yeah, some of the things that were before us in that season of waiting and seeking the Lord, I mean, there were a number of doors that were open for us to consider, many of which seemed way more comfortable than doing a church plant, opportunities just kind of to fall into place at other churches. And one of the things that to me stood out was I actually sat down with Randy Martin, that was probably even a little bit before that time, because I was like, I just need someone who will shoot straight and look me in the eye and say, this is crazy, Josh, or just bring some encouragement. And at one point, Randy said, well, Josh, as long as I've known you, the Lord has always had you about new works, doing new works in his kingdom. And as Randy shared that to me, it just really began to stir that truth in me. That is how I've been wired and created. And if I look back through the past 14 years of ministry, that's very true. The Lord has often led me to do new works and to lead new works. And so knowing how I'm wired and hearing that word from Randy really started to produce this zeal in me to find what the best place or the best fit for me would be to accomplish a new work. And I think as I began to search that out and sort through things, I remember taking a couple drives even down into the western side of the county. And I began to, for whatever reason, began to feel, you know, heartbeat and brokenness for that region. And in a way that felt like, I know I'm supposed to be here, and I know there's a new work for the Lord to do here, and I know that I'm supposed to enter into that. And so that's when we brought the request to our leadership team here at Living Hope, you know, well, could you bless a church plant and us, you know, leading that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to say to you, just while it was the two of us on the stage, we often say, well, you've been a blessing, you know, you've been a blessing to me or whatever. But I just wanted to put definition to that. First of all, personally, I mean, you have been a tremendous blessing to me. You've been a cheerleader for me the whole time. You've always been for me. You've always supported me. You've always given me a tremendous amount of respect in my role. Sort of on a broader personal level, I know there are many, many people here that would say that you have challenged them, you have encouraged them, you've strengthened them. And specifically in the area of worship, I mean, we could talk a long time about all the seeds you've sown, all the ways you've strengthened us. I would point out two things, though. And these aren't always common in the worship area. And I've said this to you before, I know, but I just want to say it publicly, that the one is the intersection of intercession and worship that is on your heart, that will always be a part of who you are. But we've grown in that as a congregation. I still feel like we're toddlers at sometimes. But we've grown in that tremendously, and that's been your influence. That's been not you alone, but you have led that charge in depositing that here. Secondly, then, is just the, and this is sort of a branch off of worship, but the intersection of the Word and worship, and praying the Word, and praying from the Word. It's evident in your teams and the way you've led. So, we could talk, I know, for hours about any one of these things. We're trying to move through here. But I just want to say that to you, that those, some of those specific areas of blessing. So what I'd like to do then, Yolanda, if you'll come on up and join us. If you're new here, this is Josh's wife, Yolanda. You probably would have guessed that. But I was going to start, Yolanda, with you, if you'd be willing to share just a sentence or two. Like, okay, Josh is this bold, visionary person, you know, and... So especially when this whole thing of church planting come up, okay, you're a mom, you have these four little kids, you're a wife, you're very aware, as women usually are, of the family dynamics. Tell us about the journey, because Josh said this was like the bottom of his priority of planting a church. Was this also that same place on your priority list? And if it was, how did God move it up?
Well, Before I answer that directly, I did want to say that one of the things that's been maybe a little surprising to me is that a lot of people have asked, how's Yolanda doing through all this, or what is Yolanda thinking, or whatever. And I just wanted to publicly say that Josh and I have never moved forward without agreement and unity. And while maybe, you know, he hears more quickly from God sometimes, he lets me wrestle things out. And so we've been in a tremendous amount of unity. So I'm doing really well, even though I don't relish change. I have had the opportunity to wrestle it out with God, and so we have unity. Probably if his was at the bottom, mine was below that for church plant. And I think if I could sum it up, what boiled it down for me was some times with the Lord where, and maybe even just to demystify, we're not like these super spiritual people that like just know God's will like that. We have to wrestle it out. We're human. And so there were times when I was very uncomfortable, just, I don't know that I like this, God. And it was in those times of just being alone with God that I feel like he began to deal with my heart and my fear. Because stepping out in something new, especially with this, you know, it would have been much more comfortable to fall into somewhere where you know what to expect, you know what your salary is going to be, you know what your responsibilities are, everything has a box for you to think in, and I just like boxes, and so I'm comfortable with boxes.
I do too. I like
boxes. So it was more or less just the Lord saying, like, are you gonna let my leadership have rule in your life? And there's a verse in Proverbs 29 that says that the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord is safe. And the word safe literally meant to be set up on high and to be secure. And so I wrestled out with God, like, I just feel like you're asking me to do something that makes me feel terribly insecure. And he would brought that assurance, like, you know, I'm a rock you can stand on. I do not change. And so when everything around you feels like it's changing and it's shifting sand, stand on me. And so it was one of those, like, saying yes to God, embracing what he's saying, not necessarily feeling like terribly comfortable. So that's been my journey.
All right. Well, just hang on to the microphone there. No, for either of you. I have, doesn't matter which one. I wanted to, this is going to seem like a weird direction to go right now, but if we can take off the commissioning hat or the commissioning lenses and put on the lenses of a baby dedication. That's weird. Work with me. We had a baby dedication last Sunday, so hopefully some of this will be fresh in your mind. But Josh, one of the parts of a baby dedication is we often refer to the name of the baby. And then the parents usually say, well, we chose this name for this reason or that or whatever. And you have chosen, not you alone, but you and your team have chosen a name for this new birth. So what's the name of the baby, and why did you choose it? Did you find it in a baby book? Or
yeah, we found it in the baby book in Revelation 22. It was one of those unintentional stumbling intos. You ever have those where you stumble into something, then you realize, wow, that was God? And so we named it the River of Water of Life that flows from the throne of God with trees and leaves that heal the nation's community church. Oh, well, actually, it was called the First Church of, of the River of Life.
You're going to need a big sign.
We need a huge sign.
And a business card.
No, the Lord just put this name down, which is called Life Stream. One word, Life Stream. Which is that picture in Revelation 22, or the same thing that Ezekiel sees, and that river that flows that brings healing, brings healing, brings deliverance, brings freedom. And I think for me, one of the reasons that it has such influence is because the life stream is not us, the individuals or the leaders or even the people. The life stream is the Spirit of God. It is flowing from his throne, and we simply become conduits for that life stream to move into and affect our community. Yeah. And so that's the name of the baby.
Awesome. Life Stream Community Church. So Yolanda, come on over here and stand with Josh. I want to ask you both baby dedication questions. Again, work with me on this, okay? Josh and Yolanda, do you recommit yourselves today to maintaining a strong and healthy marriage, knowing that to do so will be an immeasurable blessing to this church plant. Do you acknowledge that LifeStream Community Church ultimately belongs to God, but has been entrusted to you for care, nurture, and instruction? Do you commit yourselves to reading and explaining the scriptures to this church, so that from a young age, she learns of God's word and God's amazing love? Do you commit yourselves to living out your personal faith before your church so that your teaching is reinforced by your life? Do you now dedicate LifeStream Community Church to God and fully release her to God's future purposes and plans, regardless of what that involves or where it may take her? Those questions fit, don't you think? All right. Molly is going to join me up here now. Part of a baby dedication is we often give the parents a gift of a Bible. Well, I know you already have a Bible. You have like a dozen of them at least. And when I became a pastor, someone gave me the gift of a shepherd's staff. And I thought, so what can I give Josh as a gift for this baby dedication? So you know what this is, right? This is a trumpet. Fortunately, they can't see it as closely as you and I can. But you're familiar with this word. You use this word, the word of a trumpet. And all through Scripture, a trumpet is an instrument that's identified that gives a loud, clear blast. In the realm of instruments, this is not a piccolo. This is not a French horn. This is not a flute. A trumpet is a very bold and dominant instrument. And this is how God has wired you. He's wired you as a trumpet. You know that. And you're not becoming a trumpet today. You've been a trumpet. You've been wired as a trumpet. So as I said, they can't see it as closely as we can, but we're seeing there's some dents in this thing. There's some definite signs of wear. There's some scratches on here. And you've picked some of those up along the way. You've picked up some scratches and some dents and things, and God continues to teach you through them. I don't know what this means, Josh, but I believe that LifeStream has a trumpet anointing. First of all, because you're the senior leader. But secondly, that is why God is raising you up to lead a church plant, is because he's going to use your trumpet anointing to infuse that into that body. Now, what was I going to say next? I had two things, and I just lost one of them. Yes, this is what it is. You're moving into a season as a senior leader where you're going to have to do a lot of non-trumpety stuff. You have to do pastoral stuff. You have to do relationals. You have to do administrative. You have to do mercy stuff. But don't forget who you are. And don't forget to walk in the calling that God has given you of a trumpet. I think that's it. I thought I had something else profound to say about a trumpet, but I could look at my notes, but that would be no fun. So, okay. Yolanda, I'll let you hold the ceremonial passing of the trumpet, or the giving of the trumpet.
So
well,
she
I wasn't going to say that.
Sometimes she takes the mouthpiece away, too.
Yeah, yeah. Wait a minute. I did have one more profound thing to say about the trumpet. I don't know that's profound, but the music comes through the trumpet, not of the trumpet itself, but it's the breath. It's the breath that comes through the trumpet, and so you obviously know that. I mean, God brings the breath, but you make the sound. All right, what we're going to do now is go down there, and I'm going to ask the other... Oh, I missed something in the outline, didn't I? Yes, I did. I wanted to give Josh and Yolanda just an opportunity to say anything you wanted to say to the congregation on this sending moment. Sorry, I almost
That's
blew
okay.
right past that. You would have reminded me.
Yep. It's been a really emotional week for me, filled with gratitude and excitement. So I'm really thankful for a chance to share one more time with you. I think it's a profound mystery in the kingdom of God, where in Proverbs we read that in his heart a man plans his course, but then the Lord goes and directs his steps. And you and I both know, we sing about it all the time, Jesus is perfect in his leadership. And Ron and I are, of course, not. And so it would seem to me almost a foolish thing that Jesus would leave his bride in the hands of flawed and weak men like me. And yet I am so confident in the delight that the Lord has in allowing us as leaders to dream and plan and express our own desires and our heart for his kingdom. He seems to leave all kinds of room for my fingerprints to get placed all over his work. My own personality and all my own wirings and all that kind of stuff actually ends up impacting his bride. And so I'm truly amazed by that invitation from God to be a leader and to serve in his kingdom that way. He's called Yolanda and I to be trumpets, to be prophets, teachers, and leaders. Living Hope was just the third stop kind of on our ministry call in life. And our time here has been marked with growth after growth after growth after growth as individual leaders in relationships and understanding. Both Yolanda and I had been a part of less than excellent or less than healthy ministry experiences, and Living Hope, before it became any grand place of growth, it was a place of healing. Living Hope became a place where we could rest and be restored. And so I say thank you to everyone who cared for us well and helped bring healing and encouragement to us. Living Hope has been a very safe place to learn, especially for me, learning about being caring and compassionate, about tenderly nurturing relationships. And so thank you to every one of you who knowingly encouraged me in that, who unknowingly encouraged me in that, who sent emails to me that at times felt like they were hard and difficult, but produced inside of me a maturity and a gentleness in relationships. Thank you. Thank you to men here at Living Hope, like Richard and Clyde, Glenn, Jeremy, and Jeremy, and Jeremy, and the other Jeremy, who have all been continuously been intentional about exhorting me and encouraging me to walk worthy of my calling. You have done it over and over again. You've looked me in the eye and charged me to walk worthy of my calling. Thank you to our worship team members. You are amazing. And it has been such a privilege to minister to Jesus with you. Thanks for not giving up on me and on the team, you know, when over and over again you were charged by me and challenged by me to not settle for just being natural singers and musicians, but to become anointed ministers of the Lord. Your fruit, as Ron said, is evident to all what the Lord has done in you. And I just want to say thank you specifically for all of those practice times where our worship time went exceedingly high on Thursday night because of singing Petra and Newsboys songs. They were stirring.
Sure. Actually, a scripture comes to mind, and I got to hang out with some of my sisters on Friday, and I was thinking this while we were together, not to us, O Lord, but to you be the glory. So for me, the biggest thanks is really just that God gave me a gift of walking along so many precious women for almost 7 years, to be a part of their testimonies of what he's doing in them, and growing as a leader while still knowing that it's just weak human flesh and God's great, great grace on us. To be able to do and accomplish anything. And so I'm just really grateful for every woman who, you know, got to be part of life group or in some way got to serve alongside of here at Living Hope. And I just agree that it has been home, it's been healing, and it's been very life-giving for us.
We want to say thank you to Jay and Sharon Pfeiffer, who are amazing. They have stood beside us, behind us, before us, underneath of us, wherever they needed to be, to shepherd us, to protect us, and to encourage us in our calling and giftings. You have loved us and cared for us so well. Thank you. And to Ron and Molly, there's obviously no way publicly we can communicate how much you've meant to us and the great and wonderful way you have been friends to us. The super spiritual ways, like babysitting for our kids, you know, giving us date nights, and the little ways you express friendship, like bringing back moose coffee from Maine, are all things that make my heart really glad to have been your friend. Ron, you have been such a treasured friend to me, a beautiful example of meekness, incredibly gracious to me. You've made room in your heart for a strong-willed prophet to learn the ways of the Lord. And you ever find in the future that your meetings with Jay become a little too predictable or understandable, just call me and I'll come with my trumpet. And I'll give you a thought that's sure to derail you for another week or so.
Absolutely. That's the way it works.
Thank you, Living Hope, to our family for praying for us. And thank you for trusting that God has been in the midst of this. I know that's been tough, but thank you for declaring and agreeing that God is in the midst of this journey and of this change.
All right. What I want to do now is invite the core team that we're releasing as part of this church plant to come on up. That'll be four more couples to join us. We're going to go down onto the floor here because we're going to run out of space up here. But come on, let's come down here. We don't need those. There's no crying in baseball. No crying in baseball. No crying in baseball. All right. It doesn't matter. Well, you should stand with your wife now, John. don't let her stranded out there.
First job is counseling.
I know most of you know most of these couples, but from your far right there, John and Sue Ellen Hughes and Jesse and Laurie Hirsch, Mitch and Heather Schellenberger and Neil and Marcy Fallenbaum, this is the core team of the church plant. And Josh and Yolanda have spoken of their journey into this, their journey of obedience. And every one of these couples also has that same journey where they've weighed this and they've come to this agreement. And what I've asked is for two of them to just give a little snapshot of their journey. And Mitch, I think we'll start with you. Just give us, you know, a little bit of a snapshot of your journey, and then we'll have you go first. Yeah.
Sure. You know, just to start the talking about a baby being born, I feel like.
Can you come forward a little bit so these folks can
I remember
see
the day that Kalen was born.
That's good. That's good. I want everybody to be able to see you. That's good.
That helps me because that'll be break it up a little bit. But I remember the day that Kalen was born and holding her, and like I felt like continuously that day I had this like lump in my throat or something. And I feel that now, and this is the new baby, so I'm super excited to be in this place, to be on the threshold of kind of a new chapter for us. Obviously, there's changes, but we're looking forward to that for sure. Pastor Ron asked to share about our journey, and it certainly has been that, a journey. We first came to know about Josh and Londa's calling to pursue what God had next for them. It felt like the church model that we were so excited about and loved so dearly was coming apart. And, we love being part of Living Hope. We love the leadership. We love the teachings, the worship, the fellowship, and, of course, the list goes on and on. We love the environment that God had placed us in. So at first, this change was hard for us to process. Lord, why would you change things when everything was going so good? At a men's breakfast, Dave Whitmer shared a short devotional that helped me kind of put this in this whole transition in perspective. He talked from Isaiah 28, where it's discussing the process of growing a crop and how there's a time for each step in the process, and that continuing to do any one step It's obviously pointless. The crop reaches its maturity and is beautiful. You know, picture rolling hills and golden wheat. But that's not the end or even the goal. There needs to be a harvesting and a threshing to make the wheat into flour that can be made into bread. And so, Dave, you challenged us that maturity is not what the world needs. The world needs the bread. And sometimes part of that journey feels like a breaking down. But those are necessary steps for the next chapter. And that really helped me put a context into why it didn't really feel, you know, good. It felt stretching. So from early on, before there was really any talk about what that next might be, Heather and I committed to pursuing the Lord for what He would have next for us. We committed to seeking Him for what was next, even if it was a disruption to our current structure. I wanted to hear from the Lord before any options were laid out, so that when the decision time came, I could match that decision with what the Lord, was calling us to. Through that couple-week journey, the Lord continued to say that He'd been preparing us for something new. Of course, at the time, we had no idea what that might look like, but when the invitation to be part of this new ministry came, the Lord began to solidify that new direction might be. Again, this was a change from the church that we dearly loved, and so accepting that was not an easy decision. There were several answers and confirmations that I needed to bring me to a full realization that the Lord's hand was in this, and that this was indeed where He was calling us to be. The one component that was essential was the confirmation and blessing from Pastor Ron. I love being under his leadership, and I respect him, and so I needed his input in this decision. We met several times through this kind of transition process, I had expressed in one of our first meetings that I needed his blessing. Like, if this is what the Lord was calling us to, I needed the Lord to be revealing that to Ron also, and to hear that from him. And it was through our conversation and dialogue that I realized that the Lord had Ron on this journey long before I, and many months previous, the Lord had been talking with Ron about this new chapter, and had clearly revealed to Ron that he was in it, that the Lord was in it. The last meeting that Ron and I had about this discussion, this decision, was at our house when Pastor Ron and Molly came over for dinner. The dialogue around the table, Ron and Molly expressed to us their blessing and affirmation in the decision to take this new calling that the Lord had put on us. So I say thank you, Ron, for the way that you lead. Thank you for leading this body in a way that has allowed us to grow and to mature, for being an oversight to an environment that has fueled and matured us as believers. And the reality is that the Lord has been preparing all of us for this next chapter. Living Hope has not only raised up a new lead pastor or a team to surround them and that's prepared to go out, but it has also raised up others in this congregation that are prepared to take on new roles and new responsibilities. And this is a natural, healthy cycle. Living Hope will again raise up leaders who will be sent out, and again, leaders will raise up to fill their place. This picture of parenting and children was also part of the Lord speaking to me about this process. He helped me to realize that the role that Living Hope had as the parent and life stream as the child. And as all of you know, as parents, we're tasked with raising our children to be prepared for the things that God has laid out for them. We pour all we have into molding and fueling them to take on these callings. And then, as hard as it may be, there comes a day when the child is ready to take hold of their calling, and the parenting and preparation as we knew it comes to an end, and a new chapter begins. And today is that day. All of us on this team represent that child. The Lord has done great things in raising up leaders, and so I encourage you, Ron and Living Hope, to keep on doing a great job raising new leaders. This will continue to be your focus, and it will be our focus as LifeStream. Raise up new leaders, take ground, and build the kingdom.
I've asked John to share also, and John and Sue Ellen have come into this, come onto this team, I should say, from maybe a little different angle, a little later in the game. I know you could talk a long time too, John, but just sort of give us a snapshot for you and Sue Ellen of your venture that the Lord has you on.
Well, we're almost twice his age, so we're a little longer journey than Mitch and Heather had. But we grew up in church and went to church because that was the thing to do. When we got married, we found a church. We moved over here to Lancaster, found a church in the Manheim Township area where we lived, the large mainline church. And there came a time when it sent out a church. So we were part of that. It was being sent into Hemphill, where we were now living, then living. And we were a part of that group that went out from that large church to start the new church. We also found something new when we came into that church. We realized that there was a walk with Jesus we had no idea about, and we were born again after a lifetime of church going, isn't it? But then after about 7 years, that church was attacked by a Satanist group, and it split shortly after that. So we got an early introduction to spiritual warfare. But then we went with another one. We started another church under a different congregation with another small group of people. We stayed with that church for a long time and moved into leadership. And I was on the worship team in the home group leader, and Sue Ellen and I were. And Sue Ellen was the head of the ministry, the women's ministry there. But God, during the time we were there, filled us with the Holy Spirit, and we found it was an awkward fit there after that, since they didn't really embrace that. So God pulled us out of that church rather abruptly. And eventually, within a very short time, we were called to Bible school, two-year Bible school. After Bible school, we were called into start a house church ministry under Gates of Praise, which is our Harvest Net group. I was initially brought there as a worship leader, and then ultimately an elder there. After about 4 years, house church had grown, and we moved out and started a house church in our home. We led a house church in our home for about 3.5 years, total of like 7.5 years altogether. Just like that trumpet, we ended up getting a few dents in us from house church leadership, which isn't always pretty. And God brought us here, closed our house church down, and brought us here, and for rest and recovery, recharge. And that was 3 years ago. In that time, we've mostly rested, had some opportunities to move in different ministries, so we will always cherish that. Now, what you may not know is within about 3 to 4 years, we're planning to retire and move to Colorado. So, When we figured we'd be here for the duration, no. We just ride until then. But in, I guess right at the very end of November, Josh asked me to stay after worship practice and said he believes that we should. He asked us to pray about joining the core team I thought, oh. But anyway, that was an interesting challenge. And we, in the meantime, had, oh, well, feel, you know, lots of emotions and feelings just like everyone in here is having. That's that. We took some time to consider this because this is a big change, you know, a big thing for us. We took it to our home group people and asked them to pray with us about it. And after that time of prayer, one of the men said, I believe God's saying that whichever you choose, staying or going with the plant, you will be a blessing to either of those ministries, and you will be blessed in doing it. Well, that was comforting. It didn't really take us toward a decision, but it was comforting. Then, so it came down to, you know, ride it out and or not. We fortunately had a weekend planned with the Beavers, who are here with us today. They have a home in near Raystown Lake, and we spent a weekend with them out there, and they prayed into our lives, and we really appreciated that wise counsel. And it really also met with Dave, and it met with some leaders to sort through this, because this is a big difference, staying or going. And essentially along the line, we finally met with Josh and Yolanda at their house, and that was on a Friday night. And over that weekend, I heard the Lord say, are you going to ride, or are you going to get out and walk like I commanded you to? You know, ooh, walk. So, you know, so that was our decision process. This was just a couple of weeks ago, so we're relatively new on this. One thing I would leave with you is God gives you choices like this. And we'll all have them. Choices. In those choices, there's always yes and yes, quite often. This is good. That's good. That's what I heard from the word from the man that spoke into my life. But there's a difference between God's permissible will and God's perfect will. And that's what you have to wrestle out. As Yolanda was saying, you want to know his perfect will, because the blessing in the perfect will be far greater than the blessing that you'll get in his permissive. He wants his best for us. So I'm thankful that you all will release us, and we can just say that our time here has been truly blessed. It's been great to know you. It's been great to minister in your midst and minister to in your. So we just bless you in going forward. God's going to fill in all the gaps, and I know it. And I thank you, Ron and Molly, for your.
Thank you, John. I'm going to invite Kevin on up. I want to introduce you to Kevin Eshelman this morning. Kevin is here this morning representing HarvestNet International. HarvestNet is the network that will be giving oversight to LifeStream, and we won't talk a lot about all of the dynamics of that. But one thing I wanted to say to you, Kevin, and then I'm going to ask you to share your thoughts and perspective, but it has been a tremendous blessing for me and for Jay to work with HarvestNet over these last number of months, this transitional time. We spoke a number of times to Barry, who is the, I guess you'd call him the leader of the network or the head over the network. Barry wasn't available this morning, but one of the things Barry said to me, and we were partway through the process, but he said, Ron, for me, speaking for himself, he said, my number one priority in this process of talking about a church plant, releasing leaders, my number one priority has been the health of Living Hope through the process. And that was a tremendous blessing to me, because, I mean, I knew there was no competition. I mean, it's been very healthy, but it was an encouragement. So I just want to thank you and HarvestNet for that, and the way that you've partnered with us in this. So And I invite you to share what you have, you know, just from your perspective for the congregation this morning.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You know, I think I first heard about Living Hope Church. I know you were this congregation was planted in the late 1990s, but I first began hearing the name probably in the early 2000s. And everything that I've ever heard under Pastor Dave's leadership, under Pastor Ron's leadership, everything I've ever heard about Living Hope Community Church has been good. Everything I've ever heard about has been good. But seeing this process in the past number of months, as Pastor Ron and Josh and Dave just have worked through this process, has not only confirmed all the good things that I've ever heard about Living Hope, just have taken it to a completely new level of my respect for you and honoring you as a partner in the body of Christ. What you're doing and what you've done in the past couple of months and working through this process, there is all kinds of opportunity for offenses and for misunderstandings and for complicated things to come up. And I really feel like the heart that I've seen demonstrated by the congregation and under Ron's leadership has just been, we just want to see what God wants to do. We want to see the advancement of the kingdom. And even the partnership between HopeNet and Living Hope and HarvestNet is just simply, ultimately, it's about the advancement of the kingdom of God. That's what it's about. That's what we're here for. And we can drive around Lancaster County and we can see all kinds of names on church signs and so forth, but it's about the kingdom of God. That's our priority. When Jesus came, he said he was preaching the kingdom. And when he taught us to pray, he said, "Your kingdom come and your will be done." And that's what we're joined together in that as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, "He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly." Friends, Living Hope Community Church, you are not sowing sparingly at all. That verse goes on to say, those who sow abundantly will also reap abundantly. And I can just, from my perspective as somewhat of an outsider who's observed this, I can say, friends, you will reap abundantly in this place. And we pray, of course, for the success of the church plant, and we believe that they will reap abundantly as well. But make no mistake about it, in God's economy, the more you give, the more he gives. And the more you sow, the more he sows back into you. And you cannot outgive God. And I know that what you're doing is sacrificial, both in the personnel and the relationships and all that's going on here. But make no mistake about it, God is noticing, and you will reap abundantly as well. You know, for the church plant here, Josh and the team, one of the things that I will hear sometimes around Lancaster County is they'll say something like this. They'll say, "Gee, does Lancaster County really need one more church?" I'm not sure if that's come up or if anybody's ever said anything that to you yet. They probably will just give a little bit of time, or maybe they'll say something to you like, "Wait, we planted a church," and somebody will say, "Do you really need one more?" Jesus said this, "The harvest is plentiful." See, whether we need churches or not, I'm not sure. But the fact of the matter is we need harvesters. Lancaster County is a ripe harvest field. And I know that we have, you know, we do have an abundance of congregations and so forth, and we have this religious atmosphere in our county. But make no mistake about it, we are in need of harvesters. Living Hope Community Church is a harvester. Lifestream Community Church is a harvester. And we look forward to seeing the harvest come in through both of those.
Dave Whitmer to come up yet. Most of you know Dave. Dave is our overseer, Living Hope's overseer, through HopeNet. And so you have two networks standing next to one another here. That's a good picture. And so I've asked Dave, likewise, I know you have some questions for us, but you can share comments from your perspective. You've walked through this process with us as well.
Well, let me just say that it's just exciting to work with HarvestNet as two networks who are dedicated to seeing the kingdom grow in Lancaster County. I think I've known Kevin longer than I've known Josh and some of you, as we've served together in various things in the regional church, and also meet with Barry for prayer with one of the prayer groups in the county. Paul writes a letter to Titus where he says, "Now, Titus, there's some unfinished business on the island of Crete. I want you to appoint an elder in every town." Now, that was no small matter. We don't know how unfinished it was. We just know that there were over 100 towns in Crete Crete was a very populated island. It was one of the roughest corners of the Roman Empire at the time. And he said, it's just not finished until there's an elder in every town. And I think that's a word for us. And that's why there is absolutely nothing but partnership between networks in this county, because there's a lot of unfinished business. There is not a strong witness in every nook and corner and cranny and of this county. And so that's why we need more churches. And so that's why we partner together. Living Hope gives personnel. Living Hope gives a commissioning. Living Hope gives other kinds of support. HarvestNet is going to bring coaching and oversight, and that's how the kingdom works, because there's not yet a church in every nook and cranny on our island. And it's unfinished business, Paul would tell us. So let me, as part of the function of the commissioning here, I just have a couple baton passing questions here. Ron, as senior pastor, you've been overseeing and speaking into Josh's life as a leader, as an associate under your care and your watch. Are you at peace releasing Josh to the care of HarvestNet for ongoing leadership support and encouragement? And Josh, for you, you're coming under new spiritual authority, new accountability. Are you ready to receive guidance and counsel and support and wisdom from Kevin, others? In fact, give us the names of your support team.
HarvestNet serves organizationally and some administratively as our oversight. And then we also have an oversight team which will nurture and care for our church plant. That oversight team includes Kevin Eshelman, who's going to be really nurturing me and pastoring me. Barry Whistler, who's the executive director at HarvestNet. Ian Rutherford, who serves in leadership at the IHOP Kansas City Mission Base. And he's going to tether us to the Global Missions and Prayer Movement. And then Randy Martin, who has been a father to many of us, is also serving on that team.
All right, so where was I mid-question there? Are you ready to receive guidance and counsel from this team and HarvestNet? And having heard that, Kevin, is representing HarvestNet, are you ready to take this leader under your wings and guide his life and ministry so that he keeps growing in fruitfulness for the kingdom? All right, the baton is passed. I have one more word for the team, another scripture. You remember the story from Exodus 18? The angels say there's destruction coming to Sodom and Gomorrah. They leave. Abraham lingers in the presence of God and starts arguing with God. You might remember the story. He says, God, if there'd be 50 people, would you spare that city? For 50, I would. What about 45? 45, I would. What about 40? You can read. Keeps going out. 20. He gets down to 10. If there'd be 10 righteous people, would you spare the city? God says, I would. The conversation ends. The city is destroyed. Apparently, there were less than 10. Now, the rabbinical tradition from that point on for thousands of years, including up to today, was that you needed a minimum of 10 to establish a new synagogue. Synagogue, meaning of one teaching or one togetherness. You need at least 10. I mean, two or three can gather. But when you have 10, that establishes something about an assembly in a given location. You can call it a synagogue. How many do we have? Somebody help me. I think there was a reason you were added on. Amen. Give God a hand. There's a spiritual blessing. There's a spiritual blessing with what God wants to establish. Almost like he's saying, yeah, there is 10, and I'm going to establish something, a new place of the kingdom, kingdom work.
Into that. Thank you. I realize that we've gone a little over our normal time here. What we want to do yet is we want to pray for the team. I know there's enough of people here, we could pray for 2 hours, but we don't really have the opportunity to do that. Jay and Sharon, I'm going to invite you to come on up and join us if you would. Jay's going to participate in the prayer. What we're going to do now as a team is stay right where you are, Jay and Sharon, right there. Stay right there. We're going to come and join you kind of in a cluster here in the middle, and then I would just ask the congregation, I would like to see this team kind of enveloped. So those of you out on the wings, maybe just come up from your seats and kind of come around. We're going to come right to the middle of the room, and then as we're going to have a prayer, and then if you can give me like 60 seconds yet for a challenge to the rest of you, and then we'll be dismissed. So let's do that. Let's, Josh and Yolanda, you go in there, and we're just going to encircle this team. I've asked Jay to pray. Both Dave and Kevin will be praying also. And Dave, you're holding the mic, so I guess you can. I guess you can start.
Where's Jay?
Jay is over here. Are you going to start with Jay? Okay.
Lord, all I can say is, great is thy faithfulness. Thank you for Josh and Yolanda and their family, this team. Just open the windows of heaven, pour out your blessing, pour out your blessing. May it overflow. And as they lean on you for strength for each day, the challenges that may be ahead, you are enough. You are enough for them, for all that is in store. Thank you, Lord. Bless you.
In the book of Revelation, God, Lord Jesus speaks to the Church of Philadelphia, and he says, "See, I have set before you an open door. A door that is open and that no one can shut." And I just believe that God is setting before you an open door. And the thing about an open door, a door that God opens, is that nobody can shut it. And so, Father, we thank you for the open door placed in front of Josh and Alanda and the whole team. And we know it's a door into the harvest. Father, I just believe that what we're doing here today is the culmination of prayers that have been prayed even when you asked us to pray to send out workers into the harvest field. And Father, I pray you would give them the keys of the kingdom. I pray, Father, that you would give them key strategies to reach the lost. I pray LifeStream would just be a place of life transformation, God, where people would come and they would find you. And they would find the transforming power that gives them a brand new life. God, we pray for your protection over them, Lord. We pray that you would just contend with those that contend with them. Protect them from the schemes of the enemy. We know from Psalm 27 that unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Father, build this house. Guard it, God, in Jesus' name.
And we know, Lord, that there really isn't a scripture that says go plant churches, but the Great Commission says go make disciples. So I pray there would be a great wave of disciple-making through this church. And I pray that there would be followers of Jesus who would follow hard after you. There would be lives transformed by encountering you. And Heavenly Father, I pray that these 10 talents would multiply to become 20, become 40, as many as is according to the harvest, Lord. And we pray that the tough times, when it feels like it would be nice to go back to comfort, that their dependence on you would sustain them and carry them through. And you would provide the resilience that they need to carry on. And the learning curve, the things that are unfamiliar and new, I just pray again for that new capacity this year to do things that one didn't think one could do, or one thought would never happen, or had no ability. So bring the fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit to the gifts that are needed. Gift in new ways according to your plan. In the name of Jesus.
Father, you've raised up Josh and Yolanda for such a time as this. Lord, you've positioned them where you've wanted them each step of the way, and the learning and the growing and the healing that's been happening has led to this moment. Now they step into another chapter. God, give them the faith that they need to step forward boldly. Lord, be the wind, be the breath in this trumpet. Lord, they're completely dependent on your breath, your leading, Holy Spirit, your presence, your power, your anointing. Apart from you, Lord, this is a human effort. But we know that this is the effort of humans that you have called to partner with you So we give them our blessing as a congregation, Lord. We bless them and we say, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Lord, be the breath. Strengthen Josh as a trumpet, this voice of a trumpet, with your breath. God, build the team around him to each of the places you're calling them to, and strengthen them, Lord, for this next step in the journey. It will be hard, but it will be great, Lord, because you're in it. You bring greatness to our effort. And Lord, we commit this team. We release this team. We commission this team to your plans and your purposes in this day. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, just stay where you are. If I could just, for just a few seconds yet, I just have a question for the rest of you, a pastoral question. I'll try to spin because I know that you can't all see me. What is happening in your life right now that is hard? I hope you're encouraged again this morning, whatever it is. It might be a marriage. It might be a job. It might be finances. It might be something going on. If it's not hard, it's probably not great. The things that you're going through, God is in them. So I pray that this morning encourages you. Lifestream Church, you know, we know it's a myth that church planting is easy. A church plant is carried forward on the shoulders of people that are ready to do some heavy lifting. That's how this works. A church plant doesn't move forward with people that just sit on the sidelines. Those of you who are involved in planting this church, remember that. So there will be some hard times in there, but it's the hard that makes it great. And for each of us, even as Living Hope, we're saying, boy, this is going to be hard. We're releasing some incredibly gifted and talented people. It's going to be the hard that makes it great for us as well. And in your personal life, it's the hard that makes it great, because those are the times you have to depend on God. You have to cry out for him, and that's when he really starts showing up. Amen? God bless you. You're dismissed. Thanks so much for coming. You may have opportunity to greet the team.